Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good afternoon, Phillies fans. Welcome into another Phillies Today podcast here on the Phillies HD Radio Network and on 94WIP. It's Thursday, August 9th, 2010. It is Thursday, August 9th, 2018, a day after the Phillies dropped the rubber game to the Arizona Diamondbacks series finale out there in Arizona. And the Phillies today on this Thursday will have an off day, travel day, to, if they're not already there, get to San Diego and try and bounce back. Final series of the road trip against the Padres. We'll have a day off before that one, so we'll look more ahead to that series. Tomorrow, Friday morning's podcast, but today, just, you know, looking back and wrap things up with Arizona, we'll take a look at some of the recovering Phillies coming off the DL and some of the fallout that will come with that and roster shakeup, particularly before the September 1st, and then take a look at, you know, some of the trends with the Phillies going. So yesterday's story was I would say pretty much starts with Vince Velasquez. Vinny Velo just clearly did not have his typical velocity. Sitting around 93 miles an hour, which for, you know, a pitcher 15 years ago, that's a velocity that's more than acceptable. But, you know, these days everyone throws hard, and 93 just isn't going to cut it, especially from a guy like Velasquez. You know, can pitch much, much better. He usually sits around 94, 95, you know, especially, you know, lately. Seen many, many pitches touch around 96, especially since he came off the DL, and really was rocking well since then, pitching well. Everything looked in sync. He'd control the game, really. And this was the first time in a while that we saw a game where Velasquez just didn't seem have too much control out there. Wasn't putting hitters away. Obviously, as we talked about, didn't have the velocity going, and just got hit around for four innings. It got to the point where after the Phillies go down 3-0 before, you know, then it was 4-0, it was 6-0. When it was 3-0, I was actually thinking, you know, like, Velasquez doesn't have it. You might as well just cut your losses. Not burn him for too many more pitches, just be more ineffective. And I would have thrown De Los Santos out there for a couple innings in the middle innings, but I understand why they didn't. They wanted to give Velasquez a chance to even it out and get his act together. And, you know, he's certainly earned that right, the way he's pitched. So the Phillies fall in that early hole. First inning, it looked like they may be able to do some damage because they were doing their thing with working counts, having long at-bats. Cesar Hernandez leads off the game with a single, and then Hoskins gets ahead 3-1, and you're thinking, okay, you know, maybe there's something going here. Hoskins then, of course, rung up looking, and that's kind of, instead of jumping on Corbin and really setting the tone for what could have been a long afternoon for him. And then Cesar Hernandez gets caught stealing or striking out, throw him out. The Phillies really just kind of handed him a couple of easy outs with Hoskins going down looking and then Hernandez on the base paths. And that was really, you know, after that, you never really had an inning where you felt like the Phillies were threatening for something big. And then, of course, Velasquez, he didn't leak oil right away, but third inning of the game, that's kind of when everything that's basically when the game was decided. And honestly, the second inning was interesting because it took him so many pitches and it took him a couple hitters to get through just to get the three outs and get out of the jam, get out of the frame. Patrick Corbin, that's a guy you want to be the first or second out of the inning, not a guy that you desperately need to get out to avoid given up any runs. And that's what happened in the second. He gets two quick outs, and then he kind of shoots himself in the foot walking the 7 and 8 hole hitters just to get the Corbin. You know, in an ideal scenario, that's Corbin's due up second in the third inning, and then, you know, you deal with everything else from there. Not you don't want to see the top of the order and the leadoff guy leading off the third inning. That's just creating too many chances for you to have to cycle through the order again and get through unharmed. So Velasquez, you know, as we said, goes to 4 innings, takes him almost 80 pitches, 79 in total, the 4 runs allowed, of course, 6 hits, 2 walks, strikes out 2. The bullpen in general was okay from then on. Davis worked it wasn't 3 up, 3 down per se, but he only faced 3 hitters, gets a double play after allowing a hit. And then Adam Morgan pitches a clean 6th inning before running into trouble in the 7th inning, yielding 2 runs. And then Eniel De Los Santos, he gets the final 4 outs of the game, not without trouble, though, 4 base runners allowed, and gets out of it, you know, only down 6-0. But, you know, the Phillies, it could have been 1-0, to be honest. The Phillies, at no point were they really threatening for any kind of damage, let alone a big inning, or any 2 big innings, enough to cover a 6-run deficit. So the Phillies leave Arizona 14 games over 500. The Braves beat the Nats again last night, so their lead is down to 0.5 a game in the NL East over Atlanta, and 6 over the Nats. A couple other things from this game that stand out. Reese Hoskins is officially in a slump. Hoskins has gone the last 5 games now, dating back to the Marlins series, without a hit. That's back to August 3rd, the Friday night game. And, you know, it's not a slump where it's a Carlos Santana slump where he's just torching everything, his hard hit outs and all that. To say he's lost at the plate that's overstating it. It's not that bad, but he's been full a few times lately, especially this past game. You know, he did have a decent game against Grinke, worked a few walks. But outside of that, he's just, you know, whatever. I think Reese Hoskins will be fine. By the way, coming up on his 1-year anniversary of debuting in the big leagues. And, you know, maybe other things to get to today, so maybe tomorrow we'll look at how Reese Hoskins' first full calendar year in the big leagues went. Without looking at the numbers, I can only guess how impressive that those numbers can bear to be. But and I think the other big story from this game is Scott Kingery. The guy he's completely overmatched. It's the season in the past 5 months have been really just a bummer to I think the expectations he came with, the expectations to him. At times it's been unfair to him. It's looking like a pretty, it's not been good. It's a pretty big mistake. Not a colossal mistake, giving him that contract and rushing him to the big leagues, but that would be going too far. But, you know, I'm not saying he's not motivated, but I think there's something to keeping a guy on a rookie deal and having him at least show something before just handing it over. I don't think Scott Kingery is now unmotivated to perform because of his contract, but it just started off the career on the wrong foot. You know, you had this guy just coming up here, you know, started off as a bench player, a backup with a 9-year contract, albeit not all of it guaranteed. It was just weird. He was rushed. They caved to public pressure. Yeah, at least I felt like. And then once he was here, he was kind of just a double switch option until all these injuries happened. He barely played shortstop in AAA or at any level of his career or anywhere, really, minor or pro. Well, obviously not pro, you know. He hadn't had a pro career to speak of, but he had played a total of two career games at shortstop. Just looked up. 18 career innings, and those were both in AAA last year, the Lehigh Valley. And, you know, so obviously he's like their third option at shortstop after Crawford and Pedro Florman start the season. As it would happen, both of those guys get hurt. And, you know, then not only is he overmatched by big league hitting and a guy that should be down getting looks and reps in the minors, and, you know, all of a sudden he's a starting shortstop. I don't think that help matters at all. And now he's kind of gone stale with Asdrubal Cabrera, who, you know, obviously is the much better player than he is at this point. He's a guy that at least has a chance to be productive and driving a run or two, create some offense when at the dish. And the other thing with Kingery is, so you know it's bad when the manager and the general manager both say he's going to continue to play shortstop when defensive pitchers are on the ground ball pitchers are on the mound, you know, ones that require good defense backing them. Nolan Arrieta, and in the past two games with those two guys on the mound, Sunday and Monday, Kingery was nowhere to be found. It was Cabrera out there at shortstop, and he was fine. He didn't boot any balls or anything wrong there. But, you know, if you're Kingery and, you know, it's, part of it is you kind of wonder, like, what's the message here? At one point you're thinking you're going to have to go back AAA, then you're given this giant contract to be a bench player, your third string shortstop. You've got Cesar Hernandez in front of you at second. You know, you don't know what's going on with Mikel Franco, a guy who's been an everyday player for the past three or four seasons. It just, you know, looking back at the whole story arc of Scott Kingery's season, I don't know who benefited from it, who's it's helping. Hopefully it is just him, and these reps and experience will be valuable to him. You know, everyone points to Mike Schmidt's starts his career. He's obviously not Mike Schmidt, but, you know, and I doubt he'd be as good as Chase Utley, but Utley also had not the best rookie season in 2003. So you just kind of, I don't know, I guess the Phillies are just kind of hoping that this big league experience will be more fruitful to him than any minor league experience. What's interesting about Kingery, though, is we talked about the injuries and the circumstances that led him to becoming the going from the third string shortstop to at one point the everyday shortstop. That picture's starting to clear up soon. So what we're going to do in Phillies today, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll look at some of the recovering Phillies, guys coming off the DL soon, some of the infield pieces, and, you know, just overall roster configuration, and see where that leads Scott Kingery, and if he has to, and if this could be a brief break in his big league tenure. That's all ahead here on Phillies Today. All right, we're back today. Thursday edition, August 9th. Phillies of the off day, one day after dropping the series finale to the Arizona Diamondbacks 6-0. And, you know, we left off last segment talking about Scott Kingery and kind of the timeline and the story of Scott Kingery's first season of his big league career and kind of what's gotten him to going from a guy we all projected to be in AAA to a guy that was on the bench and now a couple injuries and he's the everyday shortstop. Well, the injury picture is actually starting to clear up. It looks like J.P. Crawford's fully healthy. And in fact, he's at least cleared as much to go on a rehab assignment. He's played a couple games and reportedly could be coming back anytime soon. The obvious roster move would be to activate him And, you know, he's a little bit better of a glove, at least reliable, more at shortstop. And then he showed really good flashes at third. I don't think Scott Kingery can play third, which that's okay. That's fine. They already have Franco, obviously, still tearing the cover off the ball, and Azriel Cabrera is capable. You don't need Scott Kingery to play third, but, you know, when you're looking at a roster and that's one of those things, pros and cons, you put that in the pro column for Crawford that he can at least play third, where Kingery, he's limited to – I think if Scott Kingery played there, teams would just bunt on him all day and he would struggle to adequately field the position and convert grounders into outs, which suppose, you know, why there's no point to being a ground ball pitcher or inducing ground outs if you're not going to convert them. So when Crawford comes back, that's an obvious move to make. And then I think this would have spelled the end for him anyway, with Crawford. But if that doesn't, then when Pedro Florimond, who he's already been running, and he just recently, a couple days ago, went down to Florida to start his rehab assignment. Florimond, of course, switch hitter, solid, dependable glove, and he's been an everyday shortstop before in the big leagues for Minnesota. Had a stint with Pittsburgh, and you know, he's a big league bench player. He's actually Pedro Florimond. If you want to look at his numbers since he's come over to the Phillies, dating back to last year, and if you remember, he had a pretty gruesome ankle, foot, leg injury in Miami last season. But Florimond, he's been with the Phillies for 48 games now. Which I'm actually surprised by that. It seems like I've actually been less than 48, but 48's a lot. He's had a good slash line here, and his it's not even a full calendar year, but he's hitting .301, .351 on base percentage. He's looking at a respectable .45. The biggest moment of Pedro Florimond's Phillies tenure, I would say so far, is when he pitched the ninth inning. Pitched the bottom of the eighth, I guess it was, against the Cardinals because they were on the road, down big, so it wouldn't have been a bottom of the ninth. And then the ensuing top of the ninth, he homered. And, it's something you don't see too often from a position player, or really any player. Pitchers obviously can, if they're going to homer, it's going to be a starter, number one, and then it's probably going to be, somewhere in the third to fifth innings, maybe the sixth inning. You're not going to see many starting pitchers or any pitcher homer in the eighth inning. And relief pitchers certainly don't homer. So, and, Pedro Florimond obviously is not a real pitcher, but it's kind of cool to see a guy homer right after pitching the eighth inning of a game. But anyway, he's just going to add versatility to the bench. As I said, switch hitter, play a couple different positions along with Diamond, but plays shortstop pretty well. And I see too many ways Scott Kingery's going to be off this team and not on. I don't see any way they can keep Scott Kingery up here, contract or not. And listen, if he stays up here because of that contract, that's only going to add to how much of a mistake that was, to be honest. He could have a great rest of his career a couple of years from now. It's still not going to justify keeping him up just because he already has the contract. Now, the contract could have maybe not existed if he came up and tore the cover off the ball without the contract. But now that it's already signed, it's done. It's a sunk cost. It doesn't matter. There's no point of keeping him up here just because he's got that long, in my opinion, ridiculous deal. Another Philly coming back soon is Jared Eichhoff. And, we talked earlier about Vince Velasquez's struggles with his velocity earlier. And the Phillies could certainly use themselves some rotation depth. Hats off to guys like Ranger Suarez and Eniel De Los Santos, who they each have picked up big league wins. In their young careers, young starting pitcher. But Eichhoff, if he's healthy, that's a guy I think the organization would trust more. And the thing with Velasquez, as I mentioned, you want to start kind of thinking about spacing out his innings, his workload, and his space. What's going to help him is he's going to have two off days before his next start because the Phillies don't play Thursday, the Phillies don't play Monday. He and I guess it's Pivetta are the two lucky enough to have the double off day during their turn through the rotation. But Velasquez also, that's only going to get you to mid-August. You still need to stretch him out. His career high in innings pitched of any level of all things combined is 131. And that's after the Phillies shut him down after 24 starts, if you remember, in 2016. So with the Phillies, you know, they want to probably get creative, maybe have a six-man rotation at times. You look at the schedule, see if you can find there's a game where you can kind of hide Suarez or De Los Santos in, which they've had already. There's a reason those guys pitched against teams like the Mets, the Marlins, the Reds, three of the four under 500 teams in the National League. And I think Eichel's just going to give you more chances to do that and with a better option to do that with, as a matter of fact. And then, remember, the Phillies actually... It's going to be interesting how the roster shakes up from a 25-man standpoint these next couple weeks because Edwin Ramos is too good to be pitching in AAA. He's one of the better relief options. It's just a roster squeeze, roster crunch. I think they liked Austin Davis in there just from a left-handed option. I don't think they would send Morgan down and then – yeah, but you know, the veterans from there with Sir Anthony, you know, Tommy Hunter, the Shaq, who luckily the Phillies didn't need the Shaq today, or yesterday. He'll be off today. And then, I can't think of any reason why he wouldn't be fully recovered from his five pitches the other night. Phillies seeing how the roster continues to shape into form. We didn't even get into August deadline, waiver wire deadlines before September 1st, which is when players need to be in the organization to be playoff eligible. I do think the Phillies will probably continue to tinker with the bullpen and make a series or make a move probably every series or so. I would think De Los Santos goes down next, and that's probably when we see Edubray return. That's going to be a wrap on today's Phillies 24/7. So that's going to be a wrap on today's episode of Phillies Today on Phillies 24/7. Fortunately, ran out of time, but the good thing is there's an off day tomorrow, so we'll have plenty of time to get into some of the things we did in today, and then look ahead to the Padres series. At last notice, they had three TBAs on the docket for their pitching matchups. Three games, so that's one thing I look forward to tomorrow. See if those TBAs have been turned into A's as announced. Thanks for listening. We'll come back tomorrow with another podcast for you here on the Phillies HD Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.